Hello and welcome to Sumo Mainichi. My name's Dave. I'm here with Amy and we are here to bring you all the action from day three of Haru Basho taking place in Osaka, Japan. Another banging day of sumo.
It was. It really was. And we're going to get into it. But before we do, we wanted to say a ginormous thank you to Kimba, who is actually also from Melbourne, Australia, another legend from the great city that is Melbourne, who supported us via PayPal, via the Sumo Mainichi Sake Fund, with a little message. We love being left messages. Yeah. And this is a message to end all messages.
So, and I quote directly, "Hoshoryu is the rising dragon and will make Yokozuna." Thanks, Kimba. But there's more. Just hates day one. Yeah, he doesn't love day one. Wakamoto Haru of the Silky Skin. All hail the Onami brothers and all hail Amy and Dave and their sumo hot takes.
Well, I like that.
Kimba, it was a very positive message.
Yeah, I like being in the same message as Wakamoto Haru of the Silky Skin and hailed as a legend like the Onami brothers. I'll take my place.
There's up
among the Waka brothers.
There's a beautiful poetry to the way Kimba writes.
Well, she is a musician. You would have heard Kimba on one of our episodes in January providing a report from the Kokugikan. Today's going to be a real pronunciation one, I can tell already. After visiting the Isagahama stable and meeting Terano Fuji, meeting Midori Fuji and all the other excellent guys there. So thanks, Kimba, for your support of the podcast.
Thank you so much, Kimba. The weather in Osaka, 50 degrees Fahrenheit. No, hang on. I've got that the wrong way around. 10 degrees Celsius, 50 degrees Fahrenheit, and very, very rainy in Japan. We just saw the news after the sumo concluded today, and it is bucketing down.
Yeah,
in
two
Japan.
Separate reports backing each other up. I can only presume they're in different places in
they
Japan.
They were. The second one was Chiba, and the first one was from Odaiba, that artificial island off Tokyo.
Two poor women reporting on the rain, standing in the rain, getting extremely wet and saying how rainy it was. So yes, some good reporting there.
Some beautiful reporting. Hey, now, before we get into the bouts for today, I need to go on record with something.
Oh, yeah.
I have ideas.
Yeah.
That I'm not all that good at putting into action, but I wanted to talk about this idea today. Maybe someone out there can help me realize it. Mm-hmm. So the idea is a simple one. I've seen a gap in the market. I've experienced this gap in the market. And that gap in the market is, when you're in Japan during sumo and you're not going to actually watch it live,
yep,
the Western mind tells you, go and sit in a pub and watch it.
Yes, yes.
Go and sit with other people, buy fresh tap beer,
yep,
watch sport. It's as simple as, it's an idea as old as time.
I want to go and watch the sport that I like in a pub. Or a bar.
It's beautifully simple.
Or and a pub slash bar.
If you go to Reddit Sumo and just type and just search bars, let's have a look at some of the posts. Are there bars or public places in Tokyo to watch sumo live? I'm in Tokyo. Where can we go to watch the tournament live on TV and drink beer, brackets other than our hotel room?
Yeah.
Again, because the hotel rooms are often so small. Yeah. The TVs are tiny.
Yeah.
Tokyo sports bar recommendations for watching sumo. Does Japan broadcast the sumo tournament? I'm not sure what that one means. and watching sumo at a bar / restaurant. So my simple idea is we open a bar.
Yep. Me as well?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, you can buy in.
Thank you. Oh, hang on.
You can invest. But do it kind of Dragon's Den style. Let me do my pitch first.
Okay.
And then you offer an amount.
I'll be the lady who's now a conspiracy theorist.
Okay. That'd be great.
This is the English one.
So we just simply open a bar that shows the sumo in Tokyo. And there'll be enough. It'll be mostly Westerners there, right?
Yes.
But you get that sweet tourism dollar.
Well, I wonder if it might broaden out a little bit. If it was a good enough bar and a nice small one and had the right vibes. I mean, I know in Tokyo and in Japan in general, a bar is not as much of a thing as it is in Australia. So you'd probably want a little restaurant, would you, with food as well?
I mean, you look at that model, say everyone who's been to Japan for more than a week knows about Hub, which is the English style chain of pubs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they do what we recognize as a pub.
Yep.
you know, standing tables, bar service, you know, snacks and things like that. So I think the model is out there. We just need investments.
Yeah, we need.
And I think we'd need a Japanese business partner.
I think so. But imagine that just somewhere, probably to start off with in Tokyo, but let's expand as soon as we can.
Franchise. Yeah.
Into Fukuoka next.
Well,
I think
what you'd do, you'd have a bricks and mortar bar in Tokyo, but then do what you would call a sumo party bus that you'd take around to the regional tournaments.
Jungyo.
Oh, the Jungyo bus. So you go into the bus, big flat screen, couple of kegs, just people having a good time with sumo. Mm-hmm. If there are any Japanese business partners listening, reach out. sumomanichi@gmail.com.
What would you call it? Have you got a name yet? Because you're very good with names. You've named a lot of bands in your time. Very creative name-wise.
Mm. I once named a person.
Who did you
name? That's a story for another time.
I want to hear the story.
Well, when I was in university, I'd had a few drinks.
Yeah.
And I got introduced to this guy. And I can't even remember what his real name was. And I was being a little bit obnoxious. And I said, "You look like a Gordon."
Oh, yeah.
Gordo.
Yep.
And then I met him 15 years later.
Yep.
Re-met him. I don't think he remembered me, but he introduced himself as Gordo.
Really?
So that nickname, I don't know, it caught
on. He'd taken that nickname.
Yep. I mean, that wasn't my best work. I don't know. We'll think about what to call this.
But we named this podcast as well. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But rather than me impose my ideas, I'd love to see what people might suggest.
Yes. Well, the only place we've ever seen sumo being broadcast in public is in a doctor's waiting room as we walked past it.
That's right.
I'm not sure if it was even in Tokyo. I feel like it was in Hiroshima.
Yep. Yep.
When we were walking past and everyone was watching it, I'm sure there are about, 20 people in there waiting for the doctor.
How would that doctor feel about us coming in with a few Asahi tall boys and just kicking back and watching the sumo?
Well, because the other parallel, and I know that this is sumo is nowhere near as popular as baseball. And we also in Hiroshima actually sat and watched the baseball at a little okonomiyaki place, I think, from memory, for a whole night. I mean, something like that. The vibe is just so great. Everyone's kind of yelling and cheering and getting on board with the
Hiroshima Carps.
The Carps. Right.
Yep.
Carps.
Anyway,
that's what we want to do.
Day three, sumo. Let's kick it off with a bout by two artists. This was a collab bout. Takeru Fuji x Roga.
Feet.
Well, it was more Roga feet Takeru Fuji today. Takeru Fuji out of the touch here. I shot to the side.
He did.
We're pretty happy calling this a meet and move.
There was lateral movement.
But
we
there
thought
was
initially
first.
That it was a henka, but we saw later that there was contact, I believe.
Yeah, Takeru Fuji shot around the side of Roga, put a hand on his belt and dumped him to the ground. Takeru Fuji 3-0.
And I like this comeback because Roga beat him, was one of the only people who beat him in January. They've only fought once before this and he was very keen for a comeback.
Gee, that's interesting. And like as you said straight after, was this a show of respect from Takeru Fuji?
I thought so. I mean, you never want to lose, of course, but I thought that maybe Roga should accept this as a bit of deference to him, that he wasn't willing to fight him quite head on this time around.
Yep.
So one or three, in fact, for Takeru Fuji. Roga, as you said, 2-1. Endo, look, I just want to mention him because we've questioned what's happening with him, but today he got his first win against the previously unbeaten Myogiryu.
Unbeaten after two whole matches.
Two whole days.
Yeah, incredible effort from Myogiryu.
Today, Endo got in nice and close. His sumo looked a little bit stronger. He's certainly active, like he is trying.
Oh, yeah.
And today he succeeded. So that's Endo's first win of this Haru Basho. He is 1-2. Myogiryu is 2-1. Shimizumi, actually, I just want to mention at this point, I didn't have his bout down, but I did want to mention that he looked like he got injured here.
Yeah, there was a
which
shot
I'm not pleased with.
A shot of him. I want to say Hanamichi, but can you say Hanamichi about the Osaka?
The back Hanamichi.
You were just walking behind the seats, essentially. Yeah, he looked like
the shops.
Yeah. Shimizumi, his left knee already really heavily strapped, but limping on it.
Yeah.
Talking to Kibito about it, but still made his own way out.
Yeah, he was moving slowly, looked like he was limping, looked like he got off the dojo a little bit cautiously, but still walking by himself, as you said. So we'll see. He hasn't managed to get a win yet. He's 0-3, and his opponent today who beat him was Chironomi, who's 2-1.
I wasn't unhappy about that. Now, there are two cats in the studio now, yep. Which feels like too many cats. Sunumi and Mitakumi, they finished their bout by crashing over the Tawara together. Did you see this one? This was quite amazing. Mitakumi got up, blood coming out from above his right eye.
He lost a cut, Mitakumi. So now we get the various levels of bandage.
Oh, the tape.
Yep. So ooh. There might be a little double tape over just to hold it together. Then the bandage is going to get larger and larger. That's what we've experienced with Mitakumi's bandages before.
You need a little bit of, he loves a bit of padding under there. So they both crashed over the Tawara together. A monoe was called. This one actually took quite a long time to decide. The replay showed as Sunumi was rotating to stay up, Mitakumi hung for so long that Sunumi's foot actually came around. It looks like it hit first, but common sense prevailed here. Clearly Sunumi's foot hit first, but that wasn't the spirit of this bout. A torinawa, she was called.
Yeah, more sumo. It's always a good call.
Absolutely. But when they went again, Mitakumi steamrolled Sunumi to pick up a win and move to 2-1. Sunumi, nothing to panic about. That's his first loss. Same score, 2-1.
Kota Shoho came up next against Takeyasu, and this was one to watch. If you haven't seen this matchup today, day three, go back and have a look because it was an epic belt battle. And it was also a tale of two mawashi. Takeyasu's was very tight. Kota Shoho's was loose. And so it put them on all kinds of interesting angles here. So two approaches to the mawashi, but only one winner. And that winner, it's Takeyasu.
Yeah, Takeyasu moves to 3-0. This was better sumo from him that we are seeing over these first 3 days. And just a good old-fashioned belt domination from Takeyasu. Should he have to work so hard to beat Kota Shoho?
Yeah, that was really the question. And there were a few times where I thought because it was going longer, we have seen recently that the longer it goes, maybe the more he gets into a lockup and doesn't win from there. But he kept moving. He kept on the front foot and he did eventually roll Kota Shoho down. So Kota Shoho 1-2, Takeyasu unbeaten. I love it.
There's no vortex there for me.
Oh, no. I feel nothing, actually.
I feel no vortex.
I can't. I simply can't go through it again. I don't have the...
the emotional resilience.
That's right.
Yeah. Gonoyama fans around the world rejoiced today as their boy picked up his first win, keeping his feet against Tamawashi. So 1-2 for Gonoyama. Poor old Tamawashi, though, is winless on 0-3. Tamawashi doesn't mind racking up a big line of black dots in a row sometimes.
No. But,
you know, for someone who's so good.
That's true.
Once he gets on a run.
There's some surprise people who haven't won a bout yet. I'm not going to spoil some later ones, but Tamawashi is one we're talking about now. Hokuto Fuji is another, hasn't managed to find a win yet at Maegashira 9. Shimizumi, as we mentioned before, and also Daimami returning from Juryo. No wins for him. I'm surprised.
He is not looking good at the moment, getting dominated.
But poor old Tamawashi, yep, as you said, 0-3, and Gonoyama 1-2. Ono Sato, we've been calling all of his matches, just very keen to see what he does here in Harubasho. And today he was up against Hirodumi. Hirodumi with a black eye, his right eye. It doesn't stop him ever coming out with every single ounce of his energy.
Hirodumi's touchy eye was very impressive today. He really took it to Ono Sato.
Yeah, he sprang at him.
He did.
I feel like I say that a bit, springing out of the touchy eye, but Hirodumi really put it into action today. He always gives it everything. And today he went low. He gave Ono Sato a bit of a scare, I'd say. Ono Sato took Hirodumi back again, but Hirodumi almost slipped away and it looked like he was going to be able to kind of twist and turn and come back at Ono Sato from an angle.
That's interesting you say that you thought he gave Ono Sato a scare because I felt that Ono Sato handled this really easily.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, we're not going to see from Ono Sato a complete dominance. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like only like ever taking somebody people. Backing out. Yeah.
I don't think he's that kind of Ricochet, and I think that's why I like him.
Yeah, I guess we've seen so little of his, relatively little of his sumo, and we haven't seen him really put a step wrong apart from those big bouts last time and a few others.
They don't count.
So any little thing like this, I guess I've started to call a scare.
Yeah, true.
But probably ongoing will just be his normal, you know, defense or sumo bouts.
So Ono Sato at Maegashira 5 is 3-0, Hirodumi 1-2. Oho and Tobi Zaru. I got to say, Oho is impressing me a lot this basho. Yeah. Just the enthusiasm and confidence that he's fighting with. This is not something I associate with Oho.
I like that you say enthusiasm because I've felt too that, not that he's fallen back in love with it, although maybe
he
has.
I think you can say that.
Yeah, that he's found a bit of a feeling again. He's found a rhythm perhaps.
He just needed a little boost and I felt that January was that boost, that 10-5, getting those double digits there. He's fighting like a new man.
Yeah.
And today against Tobi Zaru absolutely matched the speed of Tobi Zaru in the opening seconds of this bout. That's not an easy thing to do.
No, especially Oho's huge. He's almost double his, not double, but he's massive.
Yeah. Oho's attacks actually worked Tobi Zaru back to the Tawara. But of course, Tobi Zaru is a fighter. He fought his way off. Oho here, you know, maybe this enthusiasm went a little bit too far because he doubled down and threw himself back at Tobi Zaru. Tobi Zaru looked so light on his feet, stepped aside and slapped Oho down.
Yeah, well, we're giving Oho all the props of being fast and lively, but he was here against Tobi Zaru, who can out lightfoot anybody.
Gee, I'm giving Oho a lot of props for a Ricochet who's 1 win, 2 losses.
Really feeling
but again,
it.
Judging sumo just by wins and losses is not a really constructive way to do it.
No, it's the vibe of the
It's the vibe, exactly.
And he did beat Daisho yesterday, and that probably counted for about 5 wins.
Yeah, that's probably felt like more than one, didn't it?
For sure. Well, we'll move into Sanyaku. And the first Sanyaku bout today was Takanosho versus Wakamoto Haru. This was an interesting one because Wakamoto Haru has never managed to beat Takanosho in 3 meetings.
Yeah. When did these happen? Let me just quickly have a look
here. Yeah, it's a bit of a surprise.
It is a bit of a surprise. So those wins happened, well, quite a long time ago, March 2019, May 2017 and March 2017.
Okay, so those first don't really count.
Those first two were Makushita bouts. So yeah, not really. And the third one was Juryo. So it's a new page for these two.
I do love seeing their old Shikona though. We said a couple of yesterday, but Takanosho was Masunosho.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
Wakamoto Haru was Goshi.
Goshi. So good.
It's great.
So good.
So it's a minor upper hand here to Takanosho. Wakamoto Haru got to the body of his opponent, but I didn't think he looked stable. This was probably out of only the 3 days. This was the one where he looked a little bit off-footed. He reached out for the mawashi. Takanosho took him by the arm and tried to pull him down by the shoulder. And he wasn't able to get on the belt. He wasn't able to stand as stable as he would have liked. But he was able to regain his feet and push Takanosho out.
Yeah, Wakamoto Haru is just very stable right now.
He's a stable boy.
Takanosho, you need to hit him way harder to get him to lose his feet.
Yeah.
Which I think, you know, Takanosho did hit hard at the touchy eye, but Wakamoto Haru's got that slow motion thing going on where he's just seeing his opponents very well.
Time slows down and he of the silky skin picked up. I mean, I feel like I need to touch him to prove this.
Sure.
You know? So next time we're there, I'll confirm that. Goes to 3-0. Takanosho, I don't have his
score. He is
1-2. 1-2.
At Maegashira 3. Moving on, the next bout was Sekiwake Daisho against Komasubi Abi. An 11-10 head-to-head between these two. Very, very even. I thought Daisho got the jump on Abi at the touchy eye, and he got in under the attacks of Abi at the start, which is a good plan A. But Abi just started hitting him consistently with power hitting the upper chest. And Avi's just on point at the moment.
Yep. The rhythm is perfect.
Yep.
And the angles are perfect. He's finding some good ones. They're not ineffectual thrusts, which they have been at times in his past.
Yeah. Well, exactly. They are just landing very, very nicely. And as someone who has done a full reset on Avi, loving what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel that from you, actually.
Yeah, yeah,
I feel
yeah.
the energy in the room when you speak about Avi to yep. be much cleaner.
Yeah. I know he's made his debut in January 2024.
Okay.
I disregard the rest of his Sumo DB record.
Mm.
So eventually in the end, Abi powered Daisho out. Abi moves to 3-0 at Komisubi, which is a brilliant start. Can't say the same for Daisho. 0-3 at Sekiwake. Feels like the world is moving around him at the moment and he's not really able to put much of a stop to it.
It sure does. He hasn't started off with three losses since July 2021.
Oof, ouch.
Hopefully, where he started off with four, actually. But hopefully he finds something here because he's going out with his style of sumo, it looks like.
Yeah, it's just not landing.
It's not landing.
It's not landing.
No. So Atami Fuji at Maegashira 2 was the next to tackle Well, it was the first to tackle an Ozeki today, and it was Ozeki Hoshoryu, who was the single upholder of the Ozeki pride on day two. What can he do today? He was very quick out of the touchy eye again. I commented on it yesterday about how quick he's getting out and attacking his opponent's body. He was able to lock up a right-hand grip on Atami Fuji's belt, but Atami Fuji got his own left hand, and they kind of tried to throw each other here. I thought this was okay from Atami Fuji.
Yeah, I thought it was bold. And given the pressure he was under from that quick Hoshoryu start, he did well to keep his head and actually get on the belt here.
He did. He was a little bit slower at the touchy eye, and he wasn't looking at Hoshoryu. He did have his eyes down, which I noticed. I don't know if that affected what happened afterwards, but as they moved back and forth, as they were trying to throw, Hoshoryu was able to – he's never not moving, basically, Hoshoryu. He's never not thinking about what he can do. And so he'd moved his right-hand grip around past the knot, and he had a sort of chokehold around Atami Fuji's body then and could take him out.
Yeah, you watch that belt readjustment on the replay. It looks – it's just perfectly executed.
Yeah, it just
the
happened.
Presence of mind. His belt awareness is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
I loved watching Hoshoryu fight. And that's one for you, Kimber.
Yep.
What is he, the rising dragon?
He is the rising dragon.
Yep.
And will make Yokozuna.
2-1. He's well on the way to that. Atami Fuji 1-2. Well, next up we had Ozeki Kirishima up against Maegashira 1. Ura, is he 1?
Yep.
Yes. Hero. The ovation this man got as he stepped up on the dojo for the dojo eerie was huge.
Yeah.
It was just huge.
So popular. And again, when he steps up for his bout, I mean, they applaud just as much both times. Oh,
just thrilling the crowd. When this bout got going, Kirishima, straight out of the touchy eye, instantly scooped up Ura, who'd gone low. Kirishima, he's a smart guy. He knew what was coming here. Ura changed tact. He put his head back down, charged at Kirishima. Kirishima stepped aside, quickly dodged. Ura was sent hurtling towards the Tawara. Now, normally this is where a bout finishes.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so easy to lose your balance at this point, but not Ura. We've seen him get so low down with his body and then still be able to recover, and that's what he did today.
He does a full 180, turns and faces Kirishima, throws out some attacks just to keep Kirishima from completely overrunning him here. One pusher did created some space against Kirishima. Now, this was that moment where you can just feel Kirishima's rhythm has been completely broken.
Yeah.
Ura then ducks down.
Yeah.
As if to prepare for another low charge. Kirishima is completely out of sync with the action here. And Ura slaps Kirishima down.
Yeah, well, it was kind of like...
it was weird.
The space that Ura left, Kirishima kind of leant forward into it. And I think that's what you said, that total off-putting of rhythm. I think he either saw that space or he just thought that he needed to lean on Uhura to get him across the line.
I just think he expected Uhura to be there.
To be there, yeah.
And that was
a good point.
That was the, I mean, that's really, really hard to combat. But Kirishima goes down.
Yeah, because he did slap him down, but it was almost like he guided it. He took his forward motion and just lowered him to the ground.
Kirishima 3-0.
How does everyone feel about this? I haven't seen much talk about Kirishima so far. You know, there was a bit about Hoshoryu losing the first day, a lot input into him. Obviously a lot around Takakesho being Kataban and Terunofuji, but the feeling with Kirishima, it's got to be a bit uneasy.
Yeah. You can see by his face expression, there's a, what's the right word? There's a despondence.
Yes, like resigned.
Yeah. Is he carrying an injury maybe?
Possibly.
There's something going on. It's just not happening for him. It's early days yet. He's a champion. We know he will fight back. Do we? We don't know that.
Well, he still could get 12-3, I suppose.
Yeah, technically. Hang on, let me check the maths. Yes, he could.
Good, because I did that on my fingers really quick.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
I have always used my fingers and I'm very quick at it.
Now, Uhura is 2-1 with that win. Absolutely lit the crowd up with that one. And you decided that at Maegashira 1 with that win today, he's coming back to Sanyaku.
I did yell out, he's coming back. And that's why when you asked me before, is he Maegashira 1, I knew because I had just...
You just looked.
I just yelled.
You just had to check.
About it. Yep.
All right, let's move on to Nishikigi Konawaka.
Yes. So Nishikigi has shown us excellent sumo in this basho so far. He's someone who I thought was unbeaten, but of course isn't. But I feel like his sumo should make him that. And again today, he came out so quickly against Konawaka. And he's the master of Makakai.
Oh.
Nishikigi, you barely see it happen. And he did it again here.
He just has the ability to move his arm into the inside of an opponent so quickly and so efficiently. Because normally when you do that, you open yourself up to attack. But I feel like his opponents, and I'm talking high rank opponents, suddenly find he's wiggled inside.
Yeah, that's right.
But Konawaka's response here was good.
Yeah, so he had the right arm on the inside, Nishikigi, and he was holding Konawaka's arm up high on the other side. It was quite an awkward position for Konawaka, but he sort of shoved himself backwards, which is a weird way of saying it, yanked himself backwards perhaps and out of Nishikigi's grip. And it did work. Nishikigi found that he didn't have anything anymore. And as Konawaka advanced, that's where he had the power. He wasn't held down anymore and Nishikigi couldn't put up a fight.
You really saw that once Konawaka had some room, one thrust was enough to open this bout up.
Yeah, yeah.
So Nishikigi's one win and two losses, but you know, to me, that's the sign of a champion.
Yeah, it's
having
about
that
6-1,
score.
I think.
I mean, he is so, so good and puts up such great resistance to these top rank Sanyaku Rikishi. He's a joy to watch,
He's a joy to watch. He steps up and you just go, well, this is going to be great.
This is going to be good.
So both of these guys actually on day three are 1-2. That's not right with Konawaka's score. Let me check that. That's 2-1.
No, I think that's right.
No,
oh, is it 2-1? Okay.
Written that down wrongly there. He has beaten Nishikigi today and Atami Fuji on day one and only lost on day two to Asaniyama.
Ozeki Takakesho was up against Maegashira 2 Meisei. Meisei came out firing. Oh,
sure did.
Another Rikishi who ends up on that score of 1-2 because I'll tell you now, he lost. But early on, absolutely took it to Takakesho. There was a great moment here as they were trading thrusts where Meisei gave that like hip check or the shoulder that just spun Takakesho a little bit.
Yeah.
And I thought that was Meisei giving Takakesho a little bit of his own medicine.
I thought so too. So Takakesho coming forward with his quick thrusts, which didn't look as powerful, I should say.
No, not
as
today.
As they can.
Yep.
But yeah, Maysay just taking that tiny little step and shoving him from the side, which put him totally off balance, the little guy.
Well, I wouldn't say totally, because Tucker Kasho found his feet very, very quickly here. Maysay charged Tucker Kasho to the Tawara, but Tucker Kasho, he's Ozeki for a reason. He absolutely kept his head as Maysay charged in, grabbed Maysay's arm and twisted Maysay around to the dirt. Tucker Kasho really needed to keep himself up here for quite a long time to guide Maysay down.
He did, and he turned so quickly and exactly on the spot. There was no room for him to put another foot down. He was starting to ride up onto the Tawara. He couldn't fall, and he needed to hold his legs up. This was a really good move from him and surprisingly level-headed, perhaps, for this stage.
Surprisingly, yeah. I mean,
or the body took over.
The body took over.
We did see the body take over here.
The body knew what to do.
Yeah.
Brilliant win from Tucker Kasho, who moves to 2-1. Maysay, you champion, 1 win, 2 losses.
Taryn Afiji came up against Asaniyama for the final bout of the day. And as I said about 20 times yesterday, I was extremely excited for this one. And I actually think it lived up to the hype.
Oh, it did. It did.
They both looked so strong. They both got right hand inside belt grips. And they were just shoving back and forth, that small struggle where there's just a small amount of movement, but you can see every muscle is tensed. Yeah.
They had locked up both with a left hand on each other's belt, but Asaniyama had positioned himself in a way that, sorry, they both had right hands.
Yeah.
Asaniyama's left hand was probing, looking for the belt. On the other side, Taryn Afiji had no way to bridge that gap to get to Asaniyama's belt. So I thought Asaniyama had a better position early on.
Me too. When he reached out with the left hand, Asaniyama, and he actually ended up grabbing the belt.
Just got it.
That was when, though, his right hand came off, because Taryn Afiji then was wiggling. He's so good with his hips. He's so good at breaking belt holds. So then Asaniyama had the left hand, the right hand replaced with the left and the right hand up high. Taryn Afiji was on his mawashi and he just found Asaniyama's mawashi very loose. Everything's kind of came unraveled, and I always feel that that affects the ricochet that it happens to.
Well, I was screaming at this point because they essentially, you know, Taryn Afiji was quick to, I think by this stage he'd found the bottom layer of the mawashi, but they were basically in the middle of the dojo, both hands on each other's belt. Asaniyama's had completely disintegrated. I was like, pull it up. Tie the belt.
Yeah. There's some way that it comes untied that is okay, and some way that it comes untied that it's not.
Still, there should be like a little rip cord where a ricochet can, because obviously there's a structural part of the belt and then there's like a
aesthetic bit.
That you can jettison the aesthetic bit in times like this. Because as you said, Asaniyama's there, his belt's dangling all about his legs.
Yeah.
Just psh. Like when they launch rockets and the bottom ring comes off. Like that outer mawashi could just fly off and with like bits of fire.
Well, I think it would have helped him here.
Yeah, I think it would have.
I don't think he was distracted by it, but I think he couldn't help but feel it. And feel Taryn Afiji's slow advance with the fingers.
Yeah.
Because by that stage, he really had a strong grip. And even though Asaniyama still had his own, Taryn Afiji was all up in his business and he could take him to the edge and out.
I did notice at the end that Asaniyama was still in a reasonably good position. But I think because Taryn Afiji had that inner layer, that is very tight.
Yeah.
He had his fingers under it, gave him a lot of purchase against Asaniyama there.
And you do notice with Taryn Afiji that when he gets the win, his walk back down the Hanamichi is so slow. He struts so much, and this was a big old slow walk where he took in all the crowd's applause and just really reveled, I think, appreciated beating Asaniyama, because that was not an easy win.
Interestingly, I saw NHK's list of most watched replays from yesterday. Taryn Afiji didn't even feature in it.
Yeah, right. It would be, can I try to guess?
Yep.
Do you remember the three?
No. I mean, I know it wasn't Ura because.
I was going to say Ura.
That's who he fought against yesterday.
Of course.
So people didn't want a bar of it.
People didn't want Terunofuji Ura? Yeah.
Well, not well. If Ura had won, that would have been number one.
True. Didn't they want to see the exact replay of the January bout?
I think Asuniyama was number one.
Oh, he's so popular. There was not a hush in the stadium at all. People are applauding Terunofuji, but, you know, he is still so
I know
popular.
What you
there
mean.
Was just a bit of a pull, just a bit of a feeling.
Well, no, I think you're right. The crowd were quiet, and it's because they'd seen Ura win. That would have really topped off a great day to see for them, to see another favourite beat a Yokozuna. Let's go through the leaderboard.
Yes, we can and we will in just one moment. So on three wins, we have Sekiwake Wakamoto Haru. I love that. That's huge. Komasubi Abi, Magashira 5, Onosato, Magashira 8, Onosho, Takeyasu and Takeru Fuji.
Not a bad little group of guys there.
That.
Let's go with the 3-0 Rikishi in our preview for bouts tomorrow. Takeru Fuji takes on Myogiryu. Moving up, Takeyasu takes on Shodai. Now, interestingly, this is an 18-9 head-to-head Shodai's way.
Okay.
What happened there?
Against Takeyasu.
Against Takeyasu. Wow. Yeah, weird.
It was Shodai who beat Hokuto Fuji today too.
Ah, yes. Onosato takes on Midori Fuji for the first time. Wakamoto Haru takes on Abi, so 2-3-0 Rikishi going at it. Up the top of the card, Kirishima takes on Asuniyama. Takakesho takes on Ura. Oho takes on Hoshoryu. Oho has a 3-1 record against Hoshoryu somehow. This
Pardon
has to be
me.
Old. This was back when Oho was known as Naya.
Yeah, Naya.
So back 2018, he beat Hoshoryu a couple of times. Kirishima takes on Asuniyama. Takanosho takes on Kodnawaka. Takanosho, what are you doing up here? I mean, it's good to have you back, but you know what I mean.
Who does Onosho have? He was the other 3-0.
Gonoyama.
Gonoyama.
Easy clap. And to finish the day, Terunofuji takes on Meisei.
Wow. That is sure to be an excellent day of Wednesday night, Sumo Day 4, and we'll bring it all to you. See you then.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah.